Let's get on to our study. Matthew chapter 25. For the benefit of those of you who have not been here for this study, since the beginning of the year, we've been doing a study in the Olivet Discourse in Matthew's Gospel. The beginning of it, the disciples came to Jesus and asked him two questions. They had shown Jesus the buildings, and Jesus said, well, time's coming that the buildings of the temple are not going to stand. One stone will not be left upon another. Question number one, when shall these things be? Matthew doesn't even record the answer to it. Luke's gospel records all the answer to it. But then the second question was a two-parter. And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the age? Which is actually the same thing. Two parts. And Jesus begins telling them, if you will, of what's coming. There's coming a time of a great judgment that will last 7 years that we call the tribulation period. First half of it, the first 3.5 years, is what's known in Scripture as the beginning of sorrows. The second half is known as the Great Tribulation. It'll be a time of unprecedented worldwide judgment upon the nation of Israel. It'll be bad, bad times for them. Rise of the Antichrist, one world government, cataclysmic judgments from God over the entire world. And it will conclude, and immediately after the tribulation of those days, verse 29 of Matthew 24 says, shall be the sign of the Lord's coming. He will come, the battle of Armageddon will take place, he will speak, the armies of the world will be executed, and then what Daniel chapter 12 tells us, there will be a period of 75 days until the millennial kingdom begins. In that time, a number of judgments take place upon those who have physically survived. There will be some Jews who will have turned to Christ. There will be some Jews who haven't. There will be some Gentiles who have turned to Christ. There will be some Gentiles who haven't. And now it's time to decide. The Lord will decide who is the faithful and who is not. Who will go into the millennial kingdom, who will not. Two parables in Matthew chapter 25 deal with the nation of Israel. First, the parable of the 10 virgins, and then the parable of the 3 servants and the talents that were given to them. Tonight, we want to conclude beginning at verse 31 with the last of the parables. Interesting. In the course of our study, I've been going along at a very slow pace. 1, 2, 3 verses at a time. As we got to the end of chapter 24, it increased to 4, 5, or 6 verses. When we got to chapter 25, it increased a little bit more. Tonight will be the longest passage of them all. Interestingly enough, it'll be the shortest message of them all. You probably want me to preach next week on Psalm 119. The longest chapter in Scripture. That's not going to work. Matthew chapter 25, beginning at verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him. Now, is this speaking of the second advent, or is this speaking of the rapture of Christ? Or rapture of the church? It's speaking of the second advent. Why? In the rapture of the church, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven, not with the holy angels. Here the holy angels are coming with him. Notice the last part. Then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. In the rapture, the church is going back with him to heaven. When he comes in the second advent, he is going to sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations. The word nations there is a translation of the Greek word ethnoi. It is the plural form of ethnos. And you can hear our English word ethnic in it. Ethnicity, race of people. It can rightly be translated nations, because in Bible economy, the Jews were of one race. They are all related, except for the proselytes, back to Abraham. That's their ethnicity. The nations of the world, though, the Gentile nations, had multiple ethnic backgrounds. So this word could be translated nations, but it also could be translated Gentiles, meaning other than Israel, other than Jews. I think that is the better translation here. He is not judging nations as a geopolitical entity. He is judging people. He is judging the Gentiles. The Jews have already been judged. And he shall separate them one from another as the shepherd divides the sheep from the goat. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, a place of honor, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? Lord, for the past 7 years, it's been murder down here. All kinds of cataclysmic judgments. I mean, fire coming out of heaven, the sea giving, you know, all the animals in the sea dying, and merchant ships collapsing, and just all kinds of wars and pestilences and famines, and man, it's been rough. And then on top of that, we had this crazy guy who claimed himself to be God, which we knew he wasn't, and he was demanding that we have a mark so that we could buy and sell, and we weren't going to take that thing, and food's been scarce for us, and life has been difficult. But you know what, Lord? We never saw you. You never even made the news at night. When were you here that we didn't see you? Did you come in some kind of a disguise that we didn't recognize you? Verse 40. And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. Who is the brethren, or who are the brethren? Well, of necessity, he's speaking of the righteous Jews that are just have been separated out. Jesus was of, in his humanity, of the ethnicity of Abraham. So that's, it has to be at least them. But we could also add the possibility of Gentiles. Remember in the near the end of the Jesus' ministry, his mother and his brothers and sister came, and they told him, your mother and brother and sisters are out there, they want to see you. And he said, who is my mother and who are my brethren? And he said, they that do the will of God. These are my brethren. So you could possibly include the Gentiles in, but definitely without question, you have the nation of Israel. Why is that? Well, because during the tribulation period, the Antichrist is going to have an utter hatred, especially toward the end, of the Jews. He wants to see them gone. He is making life difficult as much as possible for them, to annihilate them. Because if the Jews can be annihilated, Jesus Christ can't return, set up his kingdom. He promised to Abraham that he would return and they would have a kingdom. Well, if they're not there, he can't come. And Satan could spoil the whole prophetic plan of God by eliminating the nation of Israel. By the way, when Jesus Christ was born and Herod the king wanted all the babies slaughtered so that there wouldn't be a Messiah to reign in the millennial kingdom. It's same plan thousands of years later. He said, when you did it to one of these, in effect, you were doing it for me. I am so associated with those who have trusted me for salvation that when you minister to them, you're ministering to me. Then he shall say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord. And notice they call him Lord. For many in that day shall say unto me, Lord, Lord. And he will say, depart from me, I never knew you. But, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister? And you know what, Lord? We had a lot going on down here. It wasn't easy for us, too. Remember, all those judgments came down from God. And they were hitting us just as much as the Jewish people. We barely had enough food for ourselves. And you mean you're asking us to take the little that we have and give it to others and that we won't have enough for ourselves? Or if you mean that we were going to risk our lives by visiting somebody in prison simply because they had trusted you and put our life in the balance? You've got to be kidding. And you said you were doing these things? No, you couldn't have been here. Then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not unto the one of the least of these, you did it not unto me. Here are my people that I am associated with. If you had trusted me, you would know that I would take care of you. But the fact that you were not willing to trust me by doing these things indicates your lack of faith. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal, which would begin for them in the millennial kingdom. The interpretation of the passage is really quite easy. There are three applications, though, that we can get from it. First, there is never an act of kindness that a believer can perform that God will not notice and reward eventually. Look at what was the criteria. If you go back to verse 35, I was hungry and you gave me food. What special talent does it take to hand somebody food? Exactly none. Anybody could do it. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. How difficult is that? I was a stranger, and you allowed me to come into your house, if nothing more than overnight. There's the sofa. I was naked. Well, here's a towel. Wrap that around you. You don't have to have a luxurious, a tuxedo or a gown or anything. Just something to put over you. Can anyone do that? Well, things were tight. Not the clothing. The economy. I was sick and in prison, and you visited me. Anyone could do that. All these were no big deals. In fact, when they were done, people didn't think much about it themselves. But God did. And now at the end of the tribulation, they are rewarded. There is never an act of kindness that a believer can perform that God will not notice and reward eventually. Sometimes in this life, sometimes in the life to come. Number two, there is never a reason that a person can give for not trusting Christ for salvation that is valid before God and will excuse them for eternal punishment. Every one of the goats could have done what the sheep did. Oh, but you know, we had to take care of ourselves first. Really? Jesus put it this way, he that will save his life shall lose it, but he that will lose his life for my sake shall gain it. The problem here with these folks, they didn't trust that God could keep them both in time and for eternity. They put themselves first. Me, 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 me. Times are tough. Yeah, they were tough. They were. In fact, the scripture says in Matthew chapter 24, it's a time of tribulation such as never was from the beginning of the world till then, nor ever shall be after that. There will never be a worse time of history than during this time. And yet some of them found ways to minister to other people and were preserved by God. Number three, God knew from the very beginning of time who would be saved and who would never trust him. He says to the sheep, enter into the kingdom prepared from the foundation of the world. Before time ever really existed, God says, I know who's going to need this. He says to the goats, enter in to hell, which is prepared for the devil and his angels. He knew who would be that would enter into that. But eternal destiny is not because of what God knew, but because of what man did or didn't do. It was up to man to believe. And man chose not to, suffered the consequences. And those that did gained life. God knew from the beginning. God didn't make it that some who wanted to couldn't, or some who didn't want to would. But those who he knew would, he gave every opportunity to come. And those he knew wouldn't, it really didn't matter if they had opportunity or not. Under the best conditions, they would refuse. That's what this is all about. When shall these things be? Well, that's the destruction of the temple. That came in 70 AD. What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the age? Judgment, tribulation. We're not there yet. Bad as things are, they're going to get a whole lot worse. But these applications still are valid today. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the study in this great little portion of Scripture. We pray that we might learn from it and apply ourselves to the principles that we have learned throughout the study, even though they may deal with a future time, to the time in which we live, that we might be found faithful. May we be about the business of God, for the glory of God, until Jesus comes and brings us home with him. To that end, I pray in his name. Amen. Have a good week.